Thank you, Ian. I'm sort of flipping through my sermon right now, trying to cut it in half. Let's see if it makes sense in the end. If you know me, you know that I've spent part of my summer reading C.S. Lewis, who is an English theologian who wrote Narnia, who came to faith as he calls it, being surprised by joy. He always wanted to be a poet. One of the things that he said, which radiates around the world and is actually written on its tomb or on the Poet's Corner in Westminster Abbey in England, is, "I believe in Christianity as I believe that the sun has risen, not only because I see it, but because by it I see everything else." Now hold that image. I'm going to read it again, because it makes so much sense. Now think of Jesus. Think of the teachings of Jesus. Think of how you relate to the world. Think of yourself as a Christian. "I believe in Christianity as I believe that the sun has risen, not only because I see the sun, but because by it I see everything else." When you think about your faith, I always think about how absolutely honored we are, how blessed we are to have faith. And I can think of thousands and thousands of people, so can you, who do not know what you know sitting here. You don't know that God is love. You know that God is love. But think of the people that don't have that certainty in their life, that they don't look through the world knowing that they are loved by a creator who just watches over them and says, "You are my precious child." So Jesus gave us this prayer, "Our Father who art in heaven." And oftentimes when we talk about it, if we are talking about it instead of praying, people, we get into these academic discussions about, well, you know, should we be saying Father? Should we be saying Mother? Jesus was trying to talk about an intimacy for us. He wasn't talking about a pronoun. He was talking about, this is the closeness of your relationship with the Holy One, with the Creator. And the prayer itself is actually a call to revolution. In England last year, the Anglicans decided, bye Olivier, don't feel you have to leave. Last year, the Anglicans decided what they would do as a sort of an evangelical moment was they put together this 1 minute video, and it shows a lot of people saying the Lord's Prayer. So it begins with the bishop walking down the street, and he says, our Father who art in heaven. And then it shows another person picking up the next line and the next line. So at the end of the minute, a lot of people have expressed this prayer. Well, the point was that they were going to play it in the movie theaters just before the movies. You've all been to the movies. You've all seen this, ads for cars and watches, and it just goes on and on. So they decided, well, what better to do? So what they did was they got it all ready. They went to the movie theater, who they were excited about it. And then at the last moment, the people who ran the movie theaters said, no, it would offend people of other faiths. It would offend people who are atheists. It would offend people who don't know what you're talking about. So they weren't allowed to do it. The Prime Minister Cameron at the time said, that is outrageous. Other people spoke up and said how terrible it was that they wouldn't allow the Lord's Prayer to be prayed. In fact, people from other faiths were saying the same thing. This is a 2,000-year-old prayer that we honor. But this one man, Andrew Wilson, wrote for Christianity Today this lovely little article, and he said, it's offensive. It's offensive that they would even think to do it. He said, not because of the reasons that have been given. It's offensive because they're presenting it like it's vanilla. Sorry for all you people who like vanilla. But they're presenting it as though it's just a nice little poem when it is a call to change, to revolution. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. It is also a call to each one of us that when we say the words, that we're saying to God, forgive me, and I will forgive others. Protect me. Keep me from temptation. This is not a vanilla prayer that Jesus gave us, and I know that we say it a lot. N.T. Wright says, sometime, start praying it by yourself, but in the first person. My Father, who is in heaven, hallowed, glorious be your name. And at the end of every line, stop and feel the depth and the wealth of every line. This is not a placid prayer. This is a genuine asking of God to be part of us, so that we see the world through the eyes of God, so that we see the world and love people as God loves us. The prayer, the Lord's Prayer, this teaching of the Lord's Prayer in Matthew is in the midst of one long sermon that Jesus gives, chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7. And this long sermon that Jesus is giving on the hillside is filled with the wisdom from being in faith, in love with God. So it's almost like, well, if you have faith, this is the way you would be. When I was working at First United, one of the things that people kept getting stuck on in Matthew 6, 5, was Jesus said, love your enemies, pray for your enemies. And the people that I was working with, a lot of the street people would say, well, that's impossible. What's Jesus talking about? That must be a mistype or something. The disciples must have been having a bad day as they were typing that up. They found that to be the most difficult of all of the teachings. Love your enemies. Remember 911? In the initial newscasts, people were saying, why do they hate us? We need to reach out and pray. We need a national day of prayer. We need an international day of prayer. We need to talk to God. We need to respond in love. Instead, we responded in anger and revenge. Prayer is powerful. The first time I've noticed prayer was in, I was like 7 years old, Nikki's age. My mom was visiting a neighbor who was going through trouble. Her brother had just died. And I was sitting there playing with my toys, like you do, and I heard this neighbor say that she spent the whole night crying and praying to God, and when the sun came up, she felt her heart fill with peace. I still remember that vividly, that is what prayer is, to be filled with peace. So cutting out a lot of stuff I was going to say, I'm going to end with, I drove to Los Angeles recently, and my husband was there, and I was driving down to meet him because we wanted to drive along the coast back. So it was all by myself for about 5 days. I took the scenic route. And I don't know if you know Michael Smith's music, Our God is an Awesome God Who Reigns from Heaven Above. I was playing it full blast in my car, driving through the farmlands of Oregon, and I felt like my car was filled with the presence of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that why we come to worship? Isn't that why we speak to each other, that we have these relationships, not only to support, but to be filled and renewed every week so we can go back out and do the work that we are called to do. Thanks be to God. Amen. If you want to hear the rest of the sermon, later.